40 wins. They put up a school record of 14 straight wins, and the program was nationally ranked throughout their campaign. In women's golf news, Chico State shoots 302 to finish 11th in the NCAA West Super Regionals, leaving them just short of advancing to the NCAA Championships. In women's track and field news, the Chico State women's track and field team dominated the final day of action at the CCAA Championships Saturday at Cal State Los Angeles to win their 7th consecutive conference title. The Wildcats won 4 individual titles and totaled 11 all CCAA finishes in the final 14 events of the meet, breaking the meet wide open with the Wildcats outdistancing UC San Diego 190 to 138. Well, that's going to do it for your Chico State Weekly Wildcat Wrap-Up. I'd like to say congratulations to women's golf, men's track, women's track, and softball on a great season this year. And I'd like to thank you for listening to your community-powered radio station, 90.1 FM, KZFR, Chico.
Appreciate it, Jordan. DJ J-Pounds has done a great job covering the men and women Wildcats all semester long, so want to shout him out. But it's time for Say Hey. Let's do it, shall we?
Temperature's rising. Fever is high. Can't see no future.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is time for Say Hey, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. It's your boy, Drew Gilbert, alongside...
What's up, everybody? I'm Derek Isomaki.
Noobs is not in today.
No noobs.
He had better things to do than hang out with a couple of chumps to talk sports today. So.
Yeah, I feel it would, I can see what you're saying to us noobs right now. You're too good for us. Okay, no. All right.
It's all love, noobs. We'll see you next week. And Jake is still in Europe. So
Rockstar mode, man. Keep going for it, buddy.
He's touring with a band and living the good life. So
I can't wait to hear stories when he gets back,
man.
It's
going to
be
great. So let's get to it. But first, we have some underwriting to handle, and then we have a ton of sports to cover in a very short amount of time. So go ahead, my friend.
Right. I should have gotten this set up perfectly correct, but Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more, 801 East Avenue. Open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at BuffaloWildWings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports.
That's what's up.
Let's do this, man.
Shouts to the sponsors. So, yeah, let's jump right into it, shall we? Ton of newsworthy stuff to get to. But I think the thing that many people in this region are excited about is Steph Curry winning back-to-back MVP awards. It hasn't been officially announced, but it...
I mean, I think we've all been seeing this coming throughout this entire season. It's just a matter of, you know, putting pen to paper, dotting the I's, crossing the T's.
Sure. So there's no anyone who's been watching the NBA this season. There's no surprise that he is the MVP. I think it will be interesting to find out if he wins and it becomes the first unanimous MVP. But we'll find that out tomorrow.
There's always that one person that just wants to be, you know, standing alone from the crowd. Like,
yeah, but who would you even vote for this?
I mean, the only other person I really think you probably think about maybe Russell Westbrook, just on the sheer number of his triple doubles, is something that someone might consider as being, you know, worthy of putting it above
at that point,
Steph Curry's ridiculous mark of 90, 40, and 50.
Yeah, at that point, you're just trying to be different, though. So, speaking of 50, 40, 90, I wanted to throw out some quick stats that were kind of eye-popping. So he had 402 made threes this year, breaking his old mark by over 100 threes this year. He's the third player ever to join the 50-40-90 club, 50% field goal shooting, 40% from three, 90% from the stripe. When it comes to contested threes off the dribble, Curry made 200 threes off the dribble contested this season. That's better than 26 other teams total.
That's ridiculous. Which is, I mean, that's like almost, that's half of his three-pointers right there.
Yeah,
are off the dribble contested.
It's.
I mean, that's like an that's a person's entire.
By the way, he shot 45% on those, which is just stupid.
Wow, that's and one season.
Here's another advanced stat. It's quantified shot quality. So it's basically the degree of difficulty in which the passes that Steph Curry threw ended up. So the better the shot quality, based on space, who's shooting the ball, this and that. Again, these are very, very advanced analytics, and stat radio is not fun radio, but he ranked first. And basically, his assist numbers were down, but the way he was moving the ball was way up, much improved from last year. And I think the bigger point here is just, I think it's pretty incredible. If you look back 7 years when he entered the league, from what he was then, which he wasn't just a spot-up shooter. He still can make his own shot, create his own shot. But
yeah,
to see him ascend from that to now unquestionably the best offensive player in the league.
It's remarkable.
It's pretty, remarkable is a great word. It's pretty astounding. I didn't see this. I thought he would be really, really, really good when the Warriors drafted him. He's much better than I ever hoped, and I think most people. I think his own father said he's, you know.
I mean, he's the best player on the planet. I mean, that's you. We think when you saw him playing for Davidson's, I ever think this kid would ever become the best player on the planet. Would he surpass the likes of LeBron James when LeBron James is coming down on his prime still?
Yeah,
maybe still there. That he's almost surpassing him. Never. I mean, it's just it's remarkable because one, you look at the guy, he's not something menacing. His physical appearance is not, you know, doesn't make you, oh yeah, like LeBron. When you see LeBron, a 6'8", 250-pound dude, yeah, you think, all right, this guy's going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Steph Curry, you're like, yo, this guy looks like a nice kid I could trust with my money.
Steph Curry would be among the top people in the league if I had to pick a fight with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just like if you wanted to. Exactly.
And LeBron obviously would be on the other end of the spectrum where I'd be running the other way if I saw him in an alley late night. But yeah, no. Luckily,
you're the black guy and said that one and not me, because I feel like it would take a lot worse. So
it might take a different connotation if you said it.
Yes.
No, but I definitely think that, you know, his stature is part of what makes him so relatable. You know, the way he plays makes him more relatable, because not everyone can dunk, but everyone, if you work on it, you can shoot better. I think a lot of his shooting obviously is based on hard work, but there's just something there where some people just have it. I've had buddies that I hooped with when I was kids that had a stroke when we were fourth and fifth grade. And that's just natural.
It is kind of crazy. Like, that is the thing. Like, there's, you know, you bring up that natural shooting touch. There's something I remember reading back in the day was about Jamal Crawford, who never practiced his jump shot. He just kind of does it. That's his natural ability. He doesn't, like, go out there and shoot shot after shot after shot. He just, you know, Jamal Crawford is just a natural. That's just what he said. He's like, yeah, I don't ever practice my jump shot. It's just what it is. And like, it's crazy that that's the case. Granted, Steph Curry probably has that natural jump shot, but he's also fine-tuned that natural jump shot to become almost secondary to him, where it's just flick of the wrist.
Yeah,
flick of the wrist.
It's been so much fun watching, obviously as a Warriors fan in particular, but I think anyone, I mean, you're obviously a Lakers fan and you love watching the Warriors.
Yeah. I mean,
over to watch a bunch of games and
no doubt. I mean, ever since he was at Davidson, I kind of jumped on that wagon. Like, wherever you go, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to, you know, be a fan of you because, you know, he's a special kid. I saw Davidson right off the bat.
Yeah.
Just, he took that team, you know, that was awesome to see the way he did that. And I've been following his career, probably not as closely as you have, but definitely he's been, you know, how's this guy doing? How's Steph doing? You know, and no, never would I ever thought. And it's awesome. I couldn't have wanted a better player for this to happen to. Honestly, he just seems like he's the best guy for the NBA to have as their like poster child right now.
Everything. Yeah,
yeah. He's
absolutely. I don't see an argument there. And speaking of how Steph's doing, his health has been a topic of conversation as of late. I believe we led the show with that last week. He was upgraded earlier today from questionable to from doubtful to questionable, but then there's been no further information.
I mean, that's such a weird scale. Doubtful, questionable.
Right.
But, like,
still
doubtful.
Not sure.
Like, maybe. All right. There's like 60-40 right now. Why don't we just give percentages? 70-30 at this point in time. Like, that's a better than doubtful.
Yeah,
questionable. Right. Like, come on. We need a better rating system than this right now of how, like, likely you are to come back.
Very unsure.
Yes. He's still hurt, but, you know.
Questionable, debatable, thinking about it. They should just release a statement that says, we'll see.
I take that more seriously. Like, man, like, I get where you're coming from, Warriors. You don't know.
Oh, man. But we talked about this at some length last week, so I don't want to rehash the same conversation. But I do think it is interesting. If he is healthy, I think, again, I think you play him. That's the only way to play back into game shape.
Do you think that would you like go off the bat, start him, and right off the bat, would you maybe think about maybe coming off the bench, giving him 20 minutes or something?
Well,
like that?
I heard Charles Barkley come up with a really interesting argument after the OKC Spurs game yesterday, which we'll get to in a second. But what he basically said is, regardless of if they win or not tonight against Portland, I believe the game tips at 7:30. That he wouldn't play Steph until they're back at home. And the reason why is because he would be a huge lift regardless of if he starts or not. The emotion that he'll give that building will be, you know, astronomical. You know, the fans will get behind it, obviously. I mean, those Rorikal fans are insane to begin with. And obviously to see our guy back on the floor, the fans would be crazy and this and that. But I just think you start him. I think you limit his minutes. But if he's good to go, you start him, you let him play, but you know, you watch his minutes. But that's the only way he's going to get ready for potentially the Spurs. And they still have a series to finish.
Yeah, no, they do.
Because they just got smacked.
I was going to say, that's our next topic of discussion. That might be a good transition into it. But wow, that Spurs, everyone was looking forward to Spurs Warriors, like, set in stone. You know, it shall be written. And wow, let's hold on that.
Yeah, I still think the Warriors. Well, one thing that you just cannot manufacture in sports is desperation, right?
That's very true.
The Warriors were up 2-0 without Steph Curry, obviously. They're going to Portland. Portland had everything to play for, and the Warriors still had a lot to play for. It's still a playoff game, but they have a 2-game cushion. They know they have home court. They expect to get Curry back, if not tonight, in a couple nights when they go back to Oakland.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the Warriors were looking really good at the end of the game. The only problem was Dame Lillard just could not miss, and every time it looked like the Warriors could make a run at it, like they did a couple games ago when they came back in the fourth quarter, Dame Lillard just was like, "Nah, this is my home court. I'm going to protect this."
And I mean, that's one thing you have to worry about. That Portland, especially when they are up at, you know, in Portland playing at home, that's
they're
a tough place. That is a really tough place. I mean, as a Lakers fan, I know that all too well.
Yeah,
that has been a tough place for, you know, for the Lakers to win, but it's doable.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they can, and they still have a better team than Portland. It's just Portland's kind of on that, like I said, that desperation grind right now of, you know, I'm swinging for the fences. I got nothing else to lose. No one, you know, there's nothing else I can do at this point in time other than hopefully Dame Lillard plays his mind out, you know, and CJ McCollum follows suit.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but in all likelihood, I would imagine, unless there's just a straight up miracle, that the Warriors will advance. But so let's get into that series. OKC Spurs. It seemed pretty set in stone that the Spurs were, you know, maybe give up a game or so to OKC. But we, for the most part, the masses felt that unless you're in Oklahoma City or a fan of them, I think everyone, all the pundits pretty much wrote them off as soon as before the series even started and said the Spurs in 4 or 5. And now we got a series.
I mean, it's great for us as like the casual fan. I just want to see some good basketball because
you
are seeing Kevin Durant. He played it, you know, out of his mind last night. You know, that he outscored the Spurs on his own in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous, especially for a team as top quality as the Spurs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about it was you finally saw an OKC team that was able to close out a game and not only do so in like a defensive manner. You know, like that fourth quarter, they were, you know, locked in there and San Antonio they weren't going to let them win.
Yeah, the whole story coming in to the postseason about OKC was their fourth quarter struggles. They gave up, 14 games they lost this season when they had a lead in the fourth quarter, which was by far and away the most in the league. And so that was kind of the storyline coming in. And obviously the Spurs are the Spurs. We all know, you know, what they represent, who they've been over the past 20 years or so now. And so, yeah, it just seemed like, you know, not two teams trending in different directions. But I just want to take us back to game one of the series after the Spurs just smacked OKC. I mean, I remember they won by 30-something. They're up by 33 at the half. You know, we talked about it last week. I tuned out during that game, and pretty much everyone wrote him off. And the question is, where's Kevin Durant going this offseason? And now it's like people are walking that back as quick as they're.
Yeah, everyone's taking their words back.
You know, they're moonwalking off that conversation.
I mean, if he does, unless he legitimately does beat the Spurs, he might just say, hey, this might be the place we could actually get it done if we just need one more piece or something. Because the Spurs were obviously one of the mountains they had to climb, the Warriors being next, but, you know, one at a time.
Right.
But that's a, you know, the way he's playing and the way that they're going right now, I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't blow me out of the water if they did beat them at this point in time. It shouldn't blow anyone out of the water at this point, just because these are, you know, technically supposed to be these are top three teams in the league right now.
Agreed. Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I was nervous for the Warriors if they had to face OKC, just because they have two of the top five players in the league, and we've talked about it. And we talked about this last week, so again, I don't want to rehash that conversation, but it just, if they don't, I don't feel that they have enough around them to win it all this season. But when you have KD and you have Russell Westbrook,
you can at least like take the series to seven, six or seven, and at which point in time tire you out, and the Cavs, you know, could be well rested. They're making quick work of everyone right now, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, they will have played 8 games in 31 days because they are just sweeping everyone. The Cavs,
yeah,
I'm talking
the
about.
Cavs, yeah.
They just swept Atlanta yesterday, and that series obviously is now over. Atlanta really needs to take a long... let's start there, I guess. We'll go there.
Yeah.
Atlanta, I believe, needs to take a long look in the mirror and decide what they're going to do. Because the way their team's currently constructed is great when you're winning the regular season, but I think it was all fool's gold.
Yeah.
I never thought that they were that good.
They don't have that one popping player.
Yeah, they don't have a superstar. Yeah. They have really, really good players. Paul Millsap, Al Horford, Jeff Teague. You know, they have some...
Kyle Korver when he's on, yeah.
Yeah, they have some really good players, but it's time to, in my opinion... They got to make some trades.
No doubt.
You have those building blocks. You got to make some trades for some picks, because those guys aren't going to get you past the Cavs. They may not even get you past Toronto or Miami, the way those teams are constructed. Yeah. So it's time to break it down and rebuild it. Would you agree?
Oh, no, definitely. I think, you know, you kind of try to put your shoes in like the GM, and like I always feel like that's such a daunting task. Obviously, when you have a good team, a team that's really good that does really well in the regular season, but just can't get over the playoff hump. You know, that I feel is such one of the most difficult tasks, I think, as a GM, because you're like, how do I get over that hump? Because it's one thing to go from sucky to good into the playoffs. I think that's one step. Like, that's a few moves you can do, but I think going from that really good team to the great team that can win it all. I mean, obviously, it's the toughest step to take, because not everyone does it. And that's, I feel bad for the GM there. I can't remember who it is right now. Obviously, they got rid of their last one, who it is at this point. But it's tough, because who do you get rid of? Who do you trade out? Because you do have, like I said, a couple of guys that they worked really well together. They have a nice system going on. And it's Budenholz over there, the coach over there. Has a nice system going on. But again, which players are you willing to part with? And that's kind of like, honestly, that decision's right there, make and break how the team is going to go, if you're going to be able to get over that hump.
Yeah, I think that last year it was understandable to keep this unit together, even though it was the same result. They got swept out of the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe it was, by the Cavs last year. I think they showed steps, and you couldn't just break that team up last year, because it's like, look, you know, we're turning it around. We just, you know, we had the best regular season record in the Eastern Conference. We made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, excuse me. And, you know, we're making steps. Now this year, you look at it, and it looks like this is exactly where they're at. Good enough to be really good in the East, but not good enough to make it out of the East.
The problem was, I think, ultimately, they had a great season last season, and the East was kind of weak at that time.
Right.
But then you saw all these other teams make big, giant steps forward, and they pretty much just stayed where they were.
Exactly.
And then you see them drop. You saw Miami, and you get a lot better. You saw Boston come up into the mix. You saw You saw the teams in the East that weren't that good, that were kind of on that cusp, really get better. Detroit was in there at this point in time now, and you just kind of, that kind of made the stock that they had not as valuable.
Yeah, and the question becomes, you know, who's going to pay Al Horford $100 million? Jaime just texted in and said, you know, he's a free agent this summer. I'm just wondering, is that a move you make? Atlanta's got some decisions to make. Do you re-sign him? It's a tough choice, but
He's not a focal point of a team.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on Atlanta Hawks basketball because Atlanta doesn't even care about their basketball team, so why should we? Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just not a draw. Since they traded Dominique back in the day, they just have kind of been this team. They've been good for a bunch of years. They've been really bad for more years. But even when they're great, there's nothing there that's really exciting.
Yeah, I don't really see an NBA championship in their near future.
Any team that builds around Josh Smith, it's just not built for the long haul, in my opinion.
That right there. There you go. So that sums it up.
Let's talk about the Cavs then real quick.
Yeah.
They're making short work, like you mentioned. I believe those are the words you used. They are smacking teams. And obviously, they're in the East. They're playing Detroit, which is an up-and-coming team, and I'm actually really excited about Detroit's future over the next 4 or 5 years here. I like the foundation they're building, but they were ahead of schedule this year.
Yeah, I mean, the 8 seed was a fantastic place for them to be.
Yeah, exactly. We just talked about Atlanta and their struggles. So keeping in mind that they are in the East, but the Cavs have played this three shooting team is not what we saw last year, and their style of play is much more reminiscent of the Warriors, as far as the way they're jacking up threes with no regard.
Yes, they broke the record that the 24 threes in a game record. They took that, which, you know,
that record's been broken twice now in this postseason alone.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it's not that big of a record to have, but like the fact that the Cavs who did it, I think, kind of is a statement over that Warriors team. Like, I think that Warriors team should definitely have that record. That's a record that I think they want to get.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you kind of see them, maybe kind of go after that, because that is their style of play. They're a very great three-point shooting team. Now, what I said about the Cavs, sure, they've got some guys that can, you know, put the ball, have some guys that can jack it up, right, but I think that if you're going to try to beat the best at their game using your style of game, you're gonna lose. I think that if you're trying to go after, sure, what the Warriors have is a great system,
right?
It's not gonna work everywhere.
Well, you know what the Warriors have as well? Great defenders.
Yes.
You know, besides,
you don't have like Kevin Love there.
He's not a good defender at all. And you have Kyrie Irving, who the same. He's terrible on defense, and that's where I think it gets interesting. Channing Frye, he's lengthy. He can guard the perimeter. He could guard the big man. He's not a great defender, but he's a bigger defender for sure.
Very true.
But I just, you know, what the Warriors have done, and even if you look at what the Spurs have done, besides, you know, a couple of players, they're all very, very long, and they all are interchangeable, as far as a lot of their guys can guard 1 through 4. In Draymond's case, 1 through 5.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's the new style of the NBA now at this point.
Yeah.
You've got to have adaptable players who can play multiple positions, and you have to have a style that's not as reminiscent of the old school, where you have like a real set 5 positions, you know?
Agreed.
Like each one of those guys has a specific role. Each one of these roles is all, you know, it's kind of like a collaborative mindset at this point in time, where you have like it's almost looking like a business at this point, where everyone's in the meetings together talking. There's no boss or CEO. It's just, hey, we're all in this together. Let's mix and mash, and we'll have something spectacular come out. And that's what the Warriors have been able to do so well. And you think the Cavs are trying to kind of go after that route. It's like, okay, we can see that work, and we might have the pieces to do it, but their pieces are not as good as the Warriors. I mean, sure, yeah, they have LeBron James. They have Kyrie Irving, who great ball skills, great offensive player.
Yeah,
I mean, ridiculous. But that's, you know, you got to have both sides of it.
Right.
You have to have well-rounded people, and I don't think you have the well-roundedness as you do in Cleveland as you do in the Warriors.
Yeah, so we'll see. A lot to be determined still, as obviously we're in the midst of round 2. Toronto and Miami are playing right now. That series is 2-1 Toronto, and the score is tied 35-all.
That's an exciting series
in the second
right
quarter.
There.
I cannot wait to get home and catch the end of that game. So we'll see what happens. A lot of playoff basketball coming at you. A couple newsworthy things as we wind down here. Before we move forward, I wanted to ask you real quick. The way the Cavs are playing, does it change how you feel about them overall? Do you think they're the favorites now, or
they can still get to the finals? They're not. I don't see them beating the Warriors. I mean, the Spurs right now, they kind of have a vulnerability about them that the OKC might be kind of exploiting. So I think if they maybe get against the Spurs, they might have a chance. But I still think the Warriors are still the favorite, especially with Curry on his timetable right now.
Fair enough. Yeah, it doesn't change it much for me. I think the Cavs are going to make it to the finals. So I guess that changes, because I was Miami all the way from the beginning of the season. With Whiteside's health concerns and the way the Cavs have looked, I think it would be foolish of me and just stubborn to stick with Miami. So I do think the Cavs make it to the finals. I just think if they have to play the Warriors, bias aside, I just think, looking at this objectively, that the Warriors are just a better built team. So I think the Warriors should still be the favorites, considered all parts are healthy. But yeah, let's move on. So some newsy stuff, and then let's have some fun on our way out of here. The Kings hired Dave Joerger. Any thoughts on that at all?
It's interesting. I mean, he's shown as being a good coach, especially in Memphis, being able to take that team into the playoffs that lost everyone, it seemed like.
Yeah.
You know, The Kings are they have some promising pieces right now. The offseason is going to be interesting for them, though. They got to make some changes. Do they keep Boogie? Are they going to? The Lakers, I know, have always been talking about trying to get him.
Yeah, I mean,
so there's.
Yeah, the only thing that matters here is, are you guys, the Kings I'm talking to, is the front office going to support the head coach? Because they didn't with George Karl at all.
Which didn't understand that.
And is Boogie Cuz going to get along with the coach? Is he going to respect Dave Joerger? Because that's where everything went astray for George Karl from day one. When he came out and said no players untradeable, there were problems from day one with him and Boogie, and you saw it spill over on the sidelines. You saw a couple outbursts when Boogie just cussed him out. So unless they get behind Dave Joerger, I don't think it really matters who you put in there. Phil Jackson could come back. Red Auerbach.
He's the Zen master.
Yeah, so I don't think it really matters until you get a guy that Boogie respects and the front office supports and says, this is our guy. He's here for the next.
We're going to keep giving Boogie that
talent is such that he should be a top 10 player, but he's got to grow. Still pretty much all knotted because by 0.1 point, if you're just looking at winning percentage.
I got the entire summer to worry about.
More time when Noobs gets back. Wait for Noobs on that. All right. This is crazy. The Braves have failed this year. Put that into context, all right? The Braves field have these seven.
Doing their chant is probably one of them. That's a pretty great stat.
So there's that. What else you want to touch on? We got about a minute before we're out of here, my man.
We were talking last week when you. This week on Sunday, like I said, this ball team coming in.
Yeah. Unreal. So it's Shizzo every channel 11 for all.